Reflection on Revelation 6. John begins the book of Revelation with seven love letters from the Lord to seven churches in chapter 1 to 3. The Lord challenges and encourages his people, gives great promises to those who depend on him and his power to be victorious. Then in chapter 4 and 5, God invites us to visit his heavenly throne room with John. God and the Lamb are sitting on their throne in their majestic control center. Their sovereignty is absolute. God is in control of his universe, determining the outcome of all things according to his own wise purpose. Starts from chapter 6, from his throne, God is about to complete every detail of his plan to redeem his people and restore his creation. As the future unfolds, God is on his throne all the time. He wants you to remember this, to grip the sense of security. Otherwise, you will be troubled. In Revelation 6, the Lamb who has triumphed over sin and death by his own death and resurrection is about to execute perfect justice. Each seal the Lamb opens unleashes one punitive action after another. The first four seals form a distinct group. Each of its opening calls out a horse and rider galloping across the stage. The first horse is a white one. Its rider has a bow in his hand and is given a crown. The identity of this rider is not clear. Some see the rider as Christ, while the rider's bow and crown could be symbols of spiritual victories. The others say this rider is Antichrist, who disguises as Christ in order to deceive people with false teaching. We may not be sure about the identity of this rider, but we can be sure the final course of history is not one of the unrelieved evil, in which Christ and his people stand hopelessly and helplessly on the sideline. God's word will not be held back. False teaching and false prophets will have great, but only temporary success. The second horse is a red one. Its rider is given a large sword. He can take peace away from the world and to make people kill each other. He brings eternal strife as well as civil war and international conflict. Are you going to be careful not to be peacebreaker, using your words as a sword to harm people around you? Be a peacemaker in this wicked world. Do not join the evil force to break peace in your house, church, and working place. The worldly peace can be taken away by the rider on the red horse and his helpers, but the heavenly peace which Jesus gives to us cannot be removed from our hearts. The Lord says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Even more, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid." Anchor your heart in him, and you will have peace which cannot be taken away. The third horse is a black one, a menacing image representing the poverty and famine that follow the savage slaughter on the red horse. Its rider has a pair of scales in hand. Hardship and suffering increase, but you need to remember that God is still in control. The fourth horse is a pale one. Its rider is death, followed by Hades closely. What a picture of hell on the wheel. Hades is inhabited by those who died in rebellion against God. Together, death and Hades made one eternal horrific pair of judgment. The opening of the fifth seal changes the scene. John sees an altar. Under this heavenly altar, John sees martyrs, killed for their testimony to Christ. Though murdered, they're seen to be very much alive. They cry out loudly, "How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of earth and avenge our blood?" The answer to the martyr's cry is wait a little longer. They were told to wait until the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. God allows his people to suffer. Suffering has always been part of the Christian's union with his son. But God always gives you strength to endure the suffering if you surrender your own way of struggle. As you can be sure of his presence with you, and you know he suffers with you. There's nothing better than God's own presence with you. Treasure your suffering. Have real joy while having real pain. Sometimes we suffer because of our own sin. Sometimes because of the sin of others. Most time it is hard to tell. Maybe both. We long for God to vindicate us and relieve our suffering. God's sovereignty and goodness limit suffering and sin in accordance with his bigger plan. The time will come when justice will be done in all situations. When God says, wait a little longer, it is so his highest purposes will be accomplished. You do not need to fear suffering. There is deep fellowship with Jesus at your side. His purpose is perfect in world history and in your own life. He desires your highest and best good. He wants you to grow in his likeness so he can deepen his fellowship with you, because he loves you with a love that is intensely personal and unending. John listed every category of human society, from kings to slaves, who will be terrorized in these days. John saw everyone looking for hiding places from cosmic breakdown around them. They're willing to be crushed under the mountains as they rush into the caves looking for a spot to hide their soul. They're not afraid of losing their physical lives. They're afraid of not being able to hide their soul. Because what they fear most is the face of him who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. The judgments of God against the ungodly will be so extraordinary that people hiding in fear of God's judgment will say, "Who can withstand it? No one can." But out of mercy and grace of our sovereign God, he offers a solid rock for you to hide your soul. The rock is Jesus Christ. Do you want to hide your soul in him?